Now, in order to really benefit from this teaching, in order for you to really experience what God has for you in the series we're beginning, the series actually we just came out of, and the series we're actually going to be going into for the next several months, there's a character quality, there's a behavior that's going to be central to you being the growing, healthy person you want to be. There is healing for you, but only if you have this characteristic. It's what's central to all that we're doing, and it's simply this: humility. Humility. Somebody went, "Oh, I haven't got that." Others, you went, "Oh, I got that." Well, you are the ones who need to listen, actually. It's actually arrogant to preach on humility like I know anything about it. I mean, it's kind of a catch-22. If you think you have it, you don't. If you don't think you have it, you're not sure how to get it. And here's the thing. We have misunderstandings about humility. We think humility is saying bad things about ourselves, focusing on what's negative about ourselves, focusing on what's broken about me, focusing about what I'm not good on. Do you notice all of those things are focusing on me? That's not humility. That's actually a different form of self-obsession or pride. Whether you're beating yourself up or building yourself up, it's all pride. What humility is it's trading self-obsession for this thing of self-forgetfulness, so that we can come to terms with who we are and who God is and the way the world is. It's about honesty, and then we can forget about ourselves and get on to more important things to focus on. And so this thing of humility is so central. When we realize how strongly the Bible talks about humility, it should give us pause. It says God Almighty, you know, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I mean, just think about that. He says there's two roads beyond you. If you've got pride, God's opposing that because there's nothing he can do with that. And yet grace, he pours out grace on it. You know what humility gives us? It gives us the ability to learn. And that's why in this series, in this message, and actually in anything in life, if you are not a humble person, you can't learn. Because a prideful person says, "Well, I already know. I got that. I heard about that. You know what? I've got a better answer." You know what? And they're constantly rolling around telling people what they know, not asking what they don't know. And so without humility, we're just not going to make very much progress. We're going to be talking about humility a lot the rest of this year. Now, we're in this series called Mind Games, where we're going to be talking about portions of the scripture where it just seems like Jesus is pulling our chain. It just seems like he's just yanking us around, that he's trying to confuse you. Have you ever felt like God was trying to confuse you? Let's just be honest here. There's just times you say, "God, okay, God, just tell me straight. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? When do you want me to get started? Could you just give me a detailed list of what you're like and what I should be doing and all these kinds of things? Just God, why are you playing these mind games for me? You know, God, I was doing this thing that I thought you wanted me to do, and then you did this. What are you doing, God?" And so this temptation to feel like God is playing mind games with us is really strong. And it's particularly strong when we get to these stories that are in the scriptures called parables. And somebody says, "Oh, I know the parables." Well, that's pride. Do you hear that? You see, one of the things we're going to learn about is the familiarity that is bred by contempt. Let me say that correctly. Contempt that is bred by familiarity. That is to say, when we're familiar with something, we say, "Oh, I know that. I've heard that." But have we? Have we really heard it? Have we really perceived it? Have we really applied it? And so humility, listen, starts from the assumption. Are you ready? This is going to be a revelation to some of you. It starts with the assumption of, "I don't know. I haven't got all the answers. You know what? I'm probably wrong. There's probably within my skill set something that's lacking. There's probably within my perception something that's off." And when I start from that perspective, I go open, I go humble, and I go learning. And so Jesus comes into this world, and he's wanting to teach us, and yet we're not open. So it feels like he's playing mind games to us. So he gives us these parables, these stories, and we are going to spend the next several weeks digging deeply into the parables. What we're going to do is we're going to take these incredible gifts that are the parables, and we're going to carry them into our inner life. Remember that? We talked about it last week. If you haven't heard, go back and listen. This inner place where we meet with Jesus, and we're going to sit down at a metaphorical table with Jesus, and we're going to unpack them. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to teach us. And we are going to take these little stories that seem so cutesy and so simple and so not really, and we're going to let them do surgery on our soul. We are going to let them do inner life work, because what is at stake is healing. Is healing that maybe we don't even know we need to do. So this all begins with a conversation of why mind games. This is actually a question the disciples asked Jesus. Here's a passage from Matthew 13, 10 through 17. Now, Matthew 13 is the beginning in Matthew's gospel of a long series of parables. The parables are found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there are all kinds of different layers of meaning. Millions of applications. They are rich. They are wonderful. But he begins this section on parables with a parable. Now, this is the middle of the first parable that he tells, okay? This is the middle of a parable called the parable of the soils, all right? And so we're going to look at what he says in between Jesus telling us the parable of the soils and him explaining the parable of the soils. Because in between getting a parable and getting an explanation, the disciples asked Jesus a question. Listen to the question. It says, then the disciples came and said to him, why don't you just tell us what you mean? Why are you telling these stories? I mean, can you imagine the disciples? I think they were like those fathers, you know, James and John talking. Hey, John, you know what Jesus was talking about today? Oh, yeah. The kingdom of God, yeah. It's like a fish and a woman who lost a coin. I don't know what he's talking about. Me neither. I mean, they had to feel some of that. And here's the thing we're going to discover about parables, okay? The purpose of parables is not to clarify what Jesus is saying. Did you hear what I just said? The purpose of parables is to not to clarify what Jesus said. It's to do something profoundly different, and we're going to talk about that. I mean, think about this parable of the soils. It's basically the parable of the soils is a sower came, he had seed, he threw it, fell on some hard ground, some shallow ground, and some thorny ground, and then some good ground, and different things happened. And then Jesus told the story and just walked away, and everybody's going, what? That doesn't clarify. Well, I mean, what does that even mean? And that's why the disciple says, so why are we doing this? Okay? Because what Jesus wants them to understand is that I could be clearer. I could be more basic. Jesus just could have called the crowd in and said, okay, guys, this is basically it. Every time the Holy Spirit speaks to you, every time the gospel touches your life and you hear a word from God, you can respond to it one of four ways. You can be hardened, you can be shallow, you can let it be choked out by the world, or you can let it do good things in your life. Okay, any questions? Jesus just could have said that. That's clear. Right? But instead, he tells this story. Because so many of you, when you just heard me say the parable of the soils, your response was, yeah, I know that story. I'm familiar with it. And all of a sudden, learning stopped. Wonder stopped. Application stopped. Pride came up. And humility went out the door. And so they asked Jesus, why do you speak in parables? Why don't you just tell us straight? It's actually for the same reason we don't teach kindergartens calculus. Because kindergartens aren't ready for calculus. And there are answers and there are truths that you are not ready for because of what's going on in your heart and because of the things that you're not ready to deal with. And because of the way you're listening, the way you're not listening. Let's take a look at what Jesus actually said. I got to tell you, I was studying this on the porch of my house earlier in the summer, and it wrecked me. I mean, there are times where I'm studying the Word of God for you people, to fix you people, and I just stand up and I have to walk away. I just have to walk away and say, oh God, I'm sorry, and oh God, I didn't see that. And oh Heavenly Father, for years I have ignored this in-between, which is central to understanding not just this parable, but every parable. That's why Jesus starts with it. That's why it's in all of the Synoptic Gospels. That's why he gives us 56 verses for it. That's why he places it at the beginning. And that's why he says, if you don't understand this one, you won't understand any of them. Because this is about how we hear and how we listen and how we perceive and whether or not we're open to the surgical work of the Holy Spirit in our life. So let's take a look at how he answers that question. He says this. He answered them, to you has been given. What has been given to you? Just stop right there. We got a God who gives. And he wants to give you more than you'll be satisfied to take. You would settle for so much more, so much less than he wants to give you. He wants to take you further, deeper. He wants to help you become who you really are. And he really likes who you really are. You're amazing when you're created in the image of God. He's trying to help you. So he says, you have been given to know. You've been given to understand and experience. The word know there is the word that means to experience the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. He says there is a reality that this world just kind of covers over. You can't see it. He says, and I want to show it to you. I want to show you about how you're supposed to live and how you're supposed to do relationships and how you're supposed to think and how you're supposed to be. And it's secret to this world. This world doesn't get it. He says, but I'm making it known to you. He says, there's big things in the offering and you'd settle for other things. And many of you say, you understand, I've read the Bible. I've looked at it superficially. Half-heartedly, you're missing profound things. The secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Later in this year, starting in January, we're actually going to study the last book of the Bible called the Revelation. And you know what the word, it starts with the word, it's called the apocalypse. You know what the word apocalypse means? It means unveiling. That there's something, there's a veil in front of it, it's going to be unveiled. There's a spiritual reality that you could see, but we're just so we don't see it. But then, But to them, it has not been given. So he says another place, to those who are outside, it has not been given. So there's some people who get it and some people who don't get it. Look what he says. He says this, for to the one who has, now what do they have? You know what they have? They have humility. They have openness. They have the ability to let the Spirit of God take the Word of God into their inner life, and it changes them. It changes what they care about and how they live and how they treat people. It cares about, changes what they value and how they spend their money and how they spend their time and what they think's important. It makes them from a broken person who's been devastated by the consequences of their own sin to a good person from whom good things naturally flow. It is a transformation. He says to the one who has this process that's going on and the right perspective and the right open, look what it says, more will be given. See, God's not stingy. He wants to give you more, but we've got to be in a place to receive it. We've got to have the right perspective. We're going to see in a minute. To begin, he says, and then they will have a pittance. Barely enough. Oh, no. God wants to give you abundance. He wants to give you more than you would be satisfied with. He wants to pour it out to you to say, God, enough. I can't take any more of your goodness and your perspective and your healing and your change. And he just wants to pour it out. He says he will give you abundance. Look at this. But from the one who has not, what don't they have? They don't have humility. They don't listen. They don't have openness. They don't believe in change anymore. They have never let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God come to their life. I'm not talking about Christians, I'm just talking about everybody who's not open, is not growing. Look what he says, the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So the things you think you want, the things you think will be satisfied, the things that you think are important, that will not all matter. You know, one of the most devastating things that can happen to a person in their life is that they can work for something that they really think they want, and they can forsake family, and they can forsake themselves, and they can lose their conviction and their character, and they can throw everything to the side, and they can get it. They can finally get it. And it's not enough. It wasn't worth it. Even what they have will be taken away. This, by the way, this little phrase is something Jesus sneaks into his teaching a lot. Maybe you start noticing it, that there are two destinies before you, abundance and loss. Nothing but loss. And the world, man, all it gives is loss. I haven't got time. 13. This is why I speak to them in parables. Look at him answer the question. He says, this is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing, they do not see. Do you see? I mean, how is your perception? How are you at understanding, at looking? Are you sure you understand? I mean, even the whole idea of a series like this where we say we're going to talk about the parables. Yeah, I've seen the parables. I understand that. And we live in a day of superficial seeing where we glance at something. And because for some reason in our pride, we think, well, I fully understand that. And we infer meaning. And rather than looking at it and say, I wonder, and I question, and what does it mean? We say, I got that. And so they think they can see, but they don't see. Now, again, in so many of these messages, the temptation is, yeah, those people are terrible. Those people are terrible who do that. This parable demands, in holy fear, in reverent awe of God, for you to consider that you are the one who can't see. Now, you're convinced you can see, okay? Because one of the things we're going to see is that Jesus tells parables to knock us off our certainty, to knock us off our confidence, to knock us off our self-sufficiency. And so if you don't start with the assumption that he's talking about me, that there are times regularly and routinely in my life where I am certain I see things clearly and I do not. I am certain that I understand and I do not. That I am the one that Jesus is talking about in this parable. God, have mercy on my soul. See, it's supposed to bring humility, an end to ourselves, and a desperation for God and his word. So, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear. We have a crisis of hearing and listening in our culture, don't we? I mean, everything is sound bites and short blog posts. We don't think deeply. We don't listen deeply. We don't listen for understanding. We don't follow up listening with a question so we can listen some more. We don't even know how to ask questions anymore. And so this crisis of listening to each other and to our own souls, let alone to God, is epidemic. This, they think they can hear. And again, the temptation is, yeah, those people don't hear. They're terrible. Glad I'm not a sinner like them. I'm going to do that parable next week. Anyway, so just so you got that to look forward to. So seeing, hearing, they do not hear. So again, you must start with the assumption today, this moment, in all your interactions this week, that there are times that I think I'm being sensitive and listening to God. And if I'm not positioning, this is what inner life is all about, myself to hear from God, I'm just not. And they do not hear. Look at this. Nor do they understand. Again, this will be a revelation to some of us. That some of us say, I understand, they don't understand. And they need to hear what I have to say because I have clarity. And if they would just listen to me, I would help them understand. And if that's kind of you and you go through life doing that, this parable is for you. It's meant to stop you in your tracks. It's meant to knock you off your certainty. It's meant to slow you down. It's not meant to clarify some specific point nearly as much as it's to cause you to question yourself and say, do I really get that point? And Jesus said, there's this woman who swept up a room and she was looking for a lost coin and she gave everything for that coin. And then when she found the coin, she celebrated. What am I celebrating? What am I lost looking for? Have I ever been so lost that I hope someone looks for me like that? See, that's when the word of God, all of a sudden, I just asked four or five questions of the scriptures, of a parable that you've heard a million times and dismissed a million times, and so have I. And so we have to understand that we don't understand. And in humility, just start from the perspective. It causes us to just kind of just, you know what? Okay, I need to slow down. I need to listen. I need to hear what God has to say, what you have to say. And the best response I can usually give is a question. Is a response by saying, well, let me ask you this. Let me see about this. That's just what Jesus did. Now watch, he doesn't stop here. This gets better. We're not even to the good part yet. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled saying, by the way, this particular verse in Isaiah is one of the most quoted passages from the Old Testament by New Testament authors. It's like it was a big deal. It's like it's something they saw all the time. It was like it was a major point of frustration for New Testament teachers that people thought they got it and they didn't. Look what it says. It says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. So this is hyperbole. He's not saying, thou shalt not hear. Like he's commanding people not to hear. What he's actually saying is, you're just never gonna hear. You're never going to hear. You're never going to get it. He says there's always going to get people who think they understand, who think they hear, who think they're seeing, who think they have clarity and want to give it to you. And maybe that is you. It is you. Sometimes it's you. It's me. Okay. He says there's always going to be people. And there's some people who will never get free from that. And the prospect of that potentially being you and you not breaking free of it should fill you with holy fear. With reverent awe, it should drive you to your knees and say, Holy Spirit, teach me humility. Teach me brokenness. Give me ears to hear, eyes to see. Everything's on the table. Okay? Look what he says. He says, indeed, they will hear, but indeed they will hear, hear but never understand. They will indeed. Indeed, their case of the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled by saying, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. That word perceive is understanding. Hear me now. That truth has layers. And it has different applications for different periods in your life. And so a truth that maybe you learned 20 years ago, now it's, it has a weight and a significance because the stage I'm at, the place I'm at, the person I'm at. You know the reason why we focus on commitment in marriage? Because commitment in marriage is what you need. You know why? Because my wife didn't marry a man. She married five men, and they're all me. Because I change and I grow and I'm different. And I'm different now that I have kids. I'm different now that the kids are out of the house. And I'm different at different stages in the first half of life and second half of life. And all of that is the truth that I perceive things differently. And so when I take the word of God now, I may have a truth that I discovered when I'm 20, but now at age, I'm at the point where it's totally not different, but more profound or application. Here's a just powerful example. 16-year-old coming to know Christ. God so loved the world, he sent his son. Okay, cool. Okay, 25-year-old man holding his newborn son. God so loved the world, he sent his son. That same truth, but he sent his son for someone like me? I mean, this is the deal. And if you understand that there's a level of perception that only comes when in humility and brokenness you learn to listen at depth, oh man, it changes your passion, your intentionality, and your humility at these parables. For this people's heart has grown dull. Do you see the journey there? It's grown dull. Do you have a dull heart? A heart that, you know what, you're indifferent to the word of God, you're indifferent to prayer. I've been studying the Bible for 30 years for people. I read it in languages. I know it. You know what? Let me just ask you a question. When was the last time the Word of God delighted you? You read something, you said, When was the last time the Word of God troubled you? Demanded change. When was the last time you saw something in the Word of God and said, because of this, I can no longer this, or I've got to start this, or this has got to change? When was the last time when the Word of God comforted you, or sustained you, or built you up? Or met you in some way significantly, he said, they have grown dull. It was a journey. It didn't happen all at once, but through familiarity and through arrogance and through pride and through the parable of the soils where we got hardened and then we made shallow commitments. And then all of a sudden, we made commitments that were choked out by materialism and the agendas of this world and our political fascinations and all the other kinds of things that have choked out the love of God and the things of the world. Say that's what's going on. You became dull. Is the word of God fruitful in your life? When the seed is planted, does it create a harvest of change, of new character, of new perspective, of new way of living so that you are more like Christ? You have moved from a broken person steeped in sin to a person who has been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit to become and becoming a good person from whom good things naturally flow, all for the word of God, or have you become dull? He said, for this people has grown dull, and with their ears, they can barely hear. For some of you, you are almost at the point of no return. That you are at a point where if you harden your heart much more, there is a place where you can go where you just can't hear anymore. And that should fill you with a holy awe and sensitivity of God. Inner life is not just a good idea. It is life. Barely hear. And their eyes, they have closed. You hear the intentionality there? That's where willful obstinance just says, I don't care. I don't want to see. I'm going to just invest myself in my certainty. See, some people think to be a bold, strong Christian, and I'm certain, and I know, and I have all the answers, and I'm going to talk. Certainty is what you have. Certainty is the place where you don't need faith. Faith is what you have when you're not certain. When you say, all I know is God is good and God is with me, and so I'm just going to be open. and I'm going to be teachable, and I'm going to be humble. He says, but there's another kind of person. And think about the Pharisees and the religious leaders. Nothing will make you close like religion and toxic religion. Okay? He says, these are people who have closed their eyes and their certainty. Now, some of you, this is a deal in part of your life and not another part of your life. Some of you, with certain people and certain times on certain topics, you are wonderful, you are warm, you are just like Christ. But there's this other thing. Maybe for you, it's money. I just get weird with money. I get mad, I get angry, I get selfish. Maybe for you, it's about that one person. Maybe for you, when it's about conversations, about, I don't know, wearing masks or not wearing masks, or all that kind of stuff. You just get mean. You get harsh. You get very not like Jesus. And you have closed yourself off. And so there are parts of your life, and this is why we got to think deeply about these passages. We can't have a superficial relationship with the Word of God. There are parts of my life that I'm open, that I'm teachable, that I'm loving, and then there are other parts of my life that I'm small, I'm closed, I'm selfish, okay? Because God hasn't worked there. And one of the things that keeps us from going to inner life is that season where we sit down with Jesus in our inner life, and he says, okay, today's the day we're going to talk about this. I'm going to bring it in your mind. I'm going to remind you of it. You're going to see it everywhere. You're going to be miserable till we deal with that. And we got a choice, you know? Some of you, it's alcohol. Some of you, it's an addiction. Some of you, it's some dark unforgiveness in your life. And Jesus says, I love you too much to leave that here. It smells. It's smelling up the place. It's sneaking out in your life. It's making you passive aggressive or anger or any 20 other dysfunctions that we all do. He says, we're going to deal with this. We have a choice. We can say, okay, Father, this is going to hurt. I got some confession. It's ugly. I'm embarrassed. I want to deal with it. Let's do some work. I'm going to get some other people in my life to know about it. I'm going to confess it. Let's do some work. I don't want this to be who I am anymore. I believe you got something better. That is not the best version of me. Let's do some work. Or we can say, what thing? I don't know what you're talking about. You know what? I don't have time for this today. And we go away. And we get mad at God. And we get bitter and resentful. And then we start saying, well, the Bible's not real. The Bible doesn't trust it. The Bible's too real. The Bible's too relevant. That's the problem. That's what keeps us from inner life. And we, like them, we close our eyes and we come up with a rationalization. Well, yeah, I don't have to forgive this person because this. You know what? I don't have to deal with my money. I earned it. I'm entitled to it. And when the world says, and we start justifying, closing our eyes with certainty. We start talking and we're trying to convince ourselves and everybody else. It's a condition of the heart. You see what Jesus starts with this parable? That's why he says, if you don't get this, because this is about how we hear. And if we hear and how we see and if we see. He said, if you don't get this, you're not going to get anything. I can't help you. If you don't start with this kind of just humility and doing the work of inner life, I can't help you. He says this. He says, barely here in their eyes, they have closed. Look at this next part. This is what's on the offering. Oh, church, hear me. Oh, lest they should see with their eyes. Have you ever just been totally wrong about something? And it made you mad and angry and sick. And then all of a sudden, Jesus came and gave you a different perspective and go, oh, what a relief. I've been carrying this burden and this anger and this whatever. And now I see, holy cow, how could I not see that? And you taste the joy, the freedom. He says, you could see, okay? And hear with your ears. That is to say, God would say things to you about who you are and what's important, what's not. He'd set you free from old voices in your head that are voices of shame and condemnation. He would give you so much more than you would settle for. You're just willing to, just give me enough that I can hunker down and hide. He says, oh, no. I got more for you than that. He said, you could actually hear. He says, and with those ears, you could understand. And with your heart, look at this. With your heart, the heart in Hebrew and Greek mindset is the center of the will. It's the place we make our decisions. It's who we really are. That's the heart. The heart is who we really are. He says, and in your heart, look at this, you would turn. Anybody need a turning point? I've been struggling for so long. This sucker's got to turn around. This thing's got to change. I had to make it. Just, I can't keep going like this. He says, and I would speak in your heart and turn, and I would heal them. I would heal them. So why does Jesus speak in parables? To heal us. To get us to the point that we will slow down long enough, that we will knock ourselves off our certainty. He wants us to be at a point, oh my goodness, where we take a step back and say, I don't know. I need help. I gotta interact with the word of God in a different way. I'm off my game to admit we're not all right. He said, I tell parables so that they can get to the point that they can really see and really hear. They will do the deep work of God so that they could turn away from all the brokenness, turn to me, and I would heal them. That's why Jesus seeks in parables. Let me just ask you, are you more interested in the parables? Because what could happen is you could live a blessed life. He says, but blessed are you. He's talking to the ones who have openness. The ones who are really listening, the ones who are really seeing, the ones who are striving to perceive. And these are not perfect guys. These are the apostles. He said, but you're blessed. He says, you've been given, you're going to be given more, and you're going to be given in abundance, more than you could ever dream of. He says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. He said, you are so blessed in the condition of an inner life where regularly, routinely, you are seeing God and you are hearing God and you are interacting. The word of God is alive. It's doing its work as a double-edged sword. At times, it's a comfort and a tower and a shield. Other times, it's like a scalpel, and it's doing inner life, deep work of healing in us. But I love this word, not because it's the word, but because it leads me to Jesus and it heals me. And so I interact with it in a totally different way. This is, again, remember, it's in the middle of the parable about four soils where he talks about it, then he explains it. That's what the soils is all about. It's how you receive words from God. And he told a story, sneak up on us. Jesus is just always coming at us sideways. He's just a master teacher. He's brilliant. Look what he says. He goes on, for truly, absolutely. This is emphasis for Jesus. I say to you, many prophets and righteous people had longings that meant unfulfilled. What you are longing for is found in the inner life with Christ. The healing, the hope. He said, they long to see it, what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and they did not hear it, but you get to hear it, okay? Here's the big idea for this series, okay? Parables are not meant to simplify and to make things clear. Jesus could have been way clearer about what he taught than using parables. Okay, it's just a matter of just lay it out, Jesus. We all think we want him to lay it out, okay? It's like when you're in an argument with someone and they say, just tell me what you think. It's not safe. It's not smart, okay? I'm gonna stop. Parables are not meant to simplify and to make things clear. They are meant to slow us down. What did he mean by that? Am I the first son or the second son? He ate with pigs. What was that all about? Oh, she swept the whole floor. He left 99 to leave one. Was that responsible? Would I do that? Should I do that? What does that mean? What does that mean for my specific situation? Okay, there was a guy who forgave a person a huge debt and a little debt. And have I been forgiven a big debt or a little debt? It slows you down. It gets you to get. It causes us to ask questions about ourselves, about God, about how we're treating people. You know, if God is committed to this kind of forgiveness, what kind of commitment should I make to forgiveness? Ask question to let go of our certainty. The prideful arrogance that somehow or another Christians think they need to have, like, we have the answers, we know. Ha, I'm so insecure, but I'm not gonna let you know I'm insecure. You know, this kind of certainty, and just say, you know what, I don't know. And you know what? You know what is gloriously attractive to the watching world who needs Jesus? Not certainty, humility. And if we as Christians displayed more humility, we would be so much more compelling to people who are without God and without hope. So he says, let's go to your certainty and embrace true humility, which is not a self-obsession how bad I am or self-obsession how good I am. It's a self-acceptance in Christ, only in Christ, by the cross. It's a self-acceptance, a belief that he is working in me to make me my true self, which will be something good and glorious for him and his grace, by his power. I mean, and I'm just committed to that. Committed to be the best version of myself in Christ through this love relation with Christ. And now because I'm committed to that, I don't really need to focus on myself so much. And I can forget myself. See, this is the true reason Jesus told parables. This is what he really wants us to see. So what are we going to do as a church, okay? We're going to ask, how should we read parables? Now, we have prepared just one of the, it's been a long time since I've been excited about a devotion like this, where over the next 5 weeks, we're going to read every parable. We're going to read a parable a day. So over the summer, we read the whole Old Testament. We went broad. Now we're going to look at little passages of scriptures. We're going to go deep. And what we've done is we've prepared a handout. It's going to be at the Connection Center. It's online. You can get it at the website. You can get it at the app. It's connected to the Dwell app. If you have downloaded the Dwell app from our site, you must do it from our site. You'll see there's a little Jacob's Well tab. You can actually click on that. And what's going to happen is every day, you're going to hear one of the parables. And some of them are going to take 20 seconds. So listen to it like 30 times. And then there's a series of questions that we've developed for every single parable. Okay? Now, if you want your life messed with and changed, you probably shouldn't do this, okay? You got a lot going on and you're convinced that your way is the right way. Probably not a good plan for you. That's reverse psychology. See what I did there? Doesn't work with my kids either. But we're going to use this devotion. We're going to spend some time deeply marinating in the parables because these were Jesus's teachings. These are his gut nuggets. Listen. This is where he has hidden the secrets to the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is what's actually real. It's veiled, but it is what is most real. It is what, man, what is most real. There is a war between a dragon and a lamb. And everybody's going to say, well, the dragon's going to win. You're going to devour that little lamb. Oh, January. All right, we're going to go. Next steps. We're going to read a parable a day. Not all the parables. We're going to read a parable a day. And we're going to get deep in it. Because we're going to say, I know that parable. I got it. Okay, simple lesson. Basic truth. Got it. Okay, got it. Okay, that's understanding. That's arrogant. That's pride. Then we're going to start questioning, okay, what does it mean? What does it mean for me? What does it apply in this situation, in that situation? We're going to dig deeply into the parable. And there'll be some days in the next 5 weeks, it's going to come and go. It's not going to, but there's going to be a day, man, sometime in the next 5 weeks, if you'll go on this journey, well, you will just be stopped in your track and say, oh my gosh, that is a secret from the kingdom of heaven that is going to change everything. It's going to change me. I just got to. And it'll stop you in the word of God if you go with humility. Next thing we're going to do is we're going to use the Dwell app. We're going to use the Mind Games Devo. We're going to use the Dwell app. The podcast you and I do, we don't have time to do all the parables on the weekend, so we're going to be unpacking a parable or two, not so much to get the meaning of the parable, but we're going to be trying to model how the parables are supposed to work in our life. Because again, here's the deal. The thing with parables is it's not so important that you find the single grain of truth that this parable is about this and now I understand it. What's important is that this parable messes with me in this way that I have to change to become more like Jesus. And so it's not so much about understanding the teaching or the facts about it, but what those teachings, what that means about my life today, how I'm living today, how I'm going to be different today. And so we're going to be doing that in the podcast. And then we're going to encourage you to join a group. So we're getting ready in the fall. COVID, haven't been able to do groups. We're getting ready to fire up groups again. So let me just say, all of this works better with friends. Okay? You know, we're going to have a huge emphasis on inner life. But if you've got some inner life, you got some other friends who got inner life, and every now and again you come together and you talk about what's going on in your inner life, that can look like celebration. It can look like, I'm not sure about this. It can look like verbally processing. It can look like confession. I saw something really ugly and embarrassing, and I just got to tell somebody, and I hope you still love me after you know this is me. And then all of a sudden you discover group life, friendship. And so here in September, in a couple weeks, we're going to start having some opportunities to sign up for some groups. And I want you to be deeply, deeply thinking about this. So we begin a journey today, church. We begin a journey of letting Jesus play mind games with us. Because he wanted to renew our minds and heal our minds and heal our hearts and heal our motives and do a deeper work in us than we could ever imagine. Okay, let's pray. Father, you are good. You're not just good some of the time, you're good all the time. And I confess there have been times on my life where I have held your word in contempt just because I'm so familiar with it. There are times where I felt like I know that and I have lost the ability to let the word of God challenge me, change me, confront me, comfort me, transform me. It begins with me, God. And so I just confess that and I ask you to renew something new in me. Teach me, teach us true humility. Not a humility fixated on ourselves, but a humility that frees us from ourselves, that we can see you and the truth of your word, that your word would come alive. Would there be some times, Father, in your people in these weeks and months ahead that they would delight in the word of God and they would be comforted by the word of God and they would be troubled by the word of God and they'd be changed by the word of God. As your spirit speaks to us, specifically through the parables, these gems that hold the secrets to the kingdom of heaven that Jesus gave us. Oh, Father, we love you. We need you. Do more and deeper, profound work than we could ever imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.